Hello and welcome to Tony Broome Ministries, presenting the following teaching session entitled Dynasty of Kings Established. The dynasty of the kings of Israel prefigure the eternal kingdom and kingship of Jesus Christ, looking forward to the time when he will rule and reign on this literal earth for 1,000 years. Our golden text is from Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This verse in the very beginning of the Bible looks forward to the time when Jesus will come and be the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This verse lets us know that the scepter, that which represents rule and authority, shall not depart from Judah. So Judah would be the tribe that would be known for praise and worship. It would be the tribe through whom the Messiah would come, David's line. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh. Shiloh means peace, until the Prince of Peace comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Saul was Israel's first king. Saul was everything you could want in a politician. He was everything you could want in a king. He was man's choice, but he was not God's choice. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4. Samuel is, of course, the prophet, and he is the judge of Israel at this time. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old. Now, how would you like to have that kind of greeting? Greeting, father, we got something we want to tell you. What is it, my sons? Well, we just want you to know you're old. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. They wanted a king so they could be like all the other nations around them. And the thing displeased Samuel because he knew that God would be their king and the ministry of the anointing of the prophet would be their spiritual rule. And so, what did he do? Samuel prayed unto the Lord. When you have something that bugs you, when you have something that bothers you, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Pray about it. Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Don't take it personal, Samuel. It's not against you. It's against me. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Samuel, they're just treating you like they're treating me, like they've treated me all along. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Do what they say, but I want you to lay it on them. I want you to tell them like it is. Tell them just what a big mistake they're making by asking for a man to rule over them instead of God. And this is what people are doing now. They want a certain man who will solve all their problems, give them a free welfare check, pay them to sit on their hinds and sit at home, stay at home, have free money coming in, give them a free cell phone, all these free fringe benefits. They have a man that'll just answer all their questions, solve all their problems. There's not but one man who can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And he tells them how it's going to be. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. He'll put them in the military. He'll put them in the army. Some of them will be killed. He lays it out there to them. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. They will work for him instead of working for you and being with you. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks, to be bakers. They will be what that bad word we don't want to talk about, slavery. Slavery. This is an introduction of slavery. Just because men wanted a king to rule over them instead of God. And that's where slavery came from. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Instead of you owning your land, the government will own your land. This is where it all started. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his servants, to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Instead of putting them to your work, he'll take them from you and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. That's where slavery is. You want to serve somebody, have somebody to rule over you? That's what's going to happen. Ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. You'll realize your mistake, and you'll cry out in despair and agony. You'll have servitude. It won't be a time of ease and celebration. It'll be a time of servitude. You'll cry out in that day because of the king that you have chosen to set over you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Why? It's not because God doesn't want to hear your prayer. It's because you've chosen this lifestyle. You've chosen this thing. It's too late. There's no turning back. You can get so involved and intertwined in evil and bondage that there's no turning back. It's not that God is not able to get you out. It's that you cannot get your own self out. You don't want to leave it. You get so in this thing, and that's the way it was in this situation. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They could have said, wait, we don't want all that. No, you just forget about what we said. Go back and tell the Lord, we're sorry. We didn't mean it. But they refused to hear Samuel's warning and pleading. They refused to hear what he had to say. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We want somebody to do all this where we won't have to put up with it. So Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. So this is what happened. Chapter 9, verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people. Now God allowed this to happen. And he said that he even anointed Saul. But it really wasn't his will. This was not God's perfect will. God allowed it. That's what they wanted. God gave them what they wanted. But he didn't actually, his will. He did not go along with it. God did not have this in his heart. To start with, God was the one that should rule over them. Chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now, Saul was anointed at that time, even though the kingdom didn't take full fledge. Verse 17, and Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and out of all your adversities and your tribulations, all of your troubles. Ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes, by your thousands. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. So they're going now to see who the king is going to be. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near, by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. That is, the vote went to him. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Looks like he's humble at this point. They ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any other people from his shoulders and upward. Handsome. Prancum handsome. Here's Saul. He's taller than anybody around. Handsome, good looking. You'd think this is the man. This is the man that will solve all our problems. This is the man that will cause everything to go well in our nation. And he was a disaster. Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. We're reading a lot of verses in this session because the Old Testament is narrative. And it's hard just to take a verse here or there. You can talk about it if you're a good storyteller. And I'm not a good storyteller, so I'll let the Bible speak for itself. Saul is the first king. He was man's choice. And he was a disappointment. But here is David. David is God's choice. If you've got to have a king anyway, let it be David. And this is why the Son of David, Jesus Christ, will rule and reign on David's throne in Jerusalem one of these days. Thank God. Let that kingdom come. Here is David now. He is a shepherd king. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? You're going to keep on crying. Samuel wept and he mourned for Saul because he was such a disappointment and God had rejected him. God says, Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Notice God said he had already provided the king. He had already provided David as king even before he was anointed. Verse 6, And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This is a great lesson for all of us, not to judge a book by its cover. We usually say that, don't judge a book by its cover, because there's some good stuff under the cover. But actually, the cover on this job looked good. This was a feel real fine, my 409, wind them up, blow it out, GTO, really looking good. It really looked good, but under the hood, God said, I refused it. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. I don't know how much Jesse knew, but surely he had to have known that something was up. God was looking for a special person among Jesse's sons. And all these sons, seven of them, passed by and walked in front of Samuel, passed by before him. Samuel said, Not this one, not this one. And he finally said, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children? Are these all your kids? Are all the children here?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. Just a chap, just a boy, young man, but he was handsome. He was good looking. All the ladies would like him. They even sung about him a little later. "Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. That's what Saul heard and caused a lot of problems. So here comes David. Only a little shepherd boy. There's a lot of songs written about it. Only a boy named David, but he could dance and sing. He could shout and sing. "The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's," said little David. A lot of songs have been written about that, but here he comes in before Samuel, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What a sight that must have been for him to be anointed king in the midst of his brethren, in the midst of his brothers. He anointed him there, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, this is important because some people think that the Spirit of God comes upon you, and then you're anointed. You're anointed, and then the Spirit comes upon you. Same thing that it said here. Arise, anoint him. He takes the horn of oil and anoints him, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David from that day forward. It didn't stay on him all the time, as it does on none of us, but he came upon him at times when he was needed, and he did that and worked in his life from that day forward. Jesus, Isaiah 61, fulfilled in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." It's not that I am anointed because the Spirit's upon me. The Spirit's upon me because I'm anointed. He was anointed, and then the Spirit was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And God chooses now David, and David has the Spirit of God. Saul experienced the Spirit of God, but he didn't have a heart like David did. God tried to deal with Saul, and he gave him a chance to serve him and to be king. But Saul rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had to reject him from reigning over Israel. David sinned also, but he got right with God. He had a different heart, a different spirit than Saul had. The Holy Spirit departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Holy Spirit came upon David and blessed his life from that day forward. So there's certainly a difference. 1 Chronicles 17, "Now David is established king, and it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.'" David had a heart that he wanted God to have a house. And it bothered him that he had been blessed so much and he dwells in a house of cedars, and yet here's the covenant of the Lord God of Israel, dwelling still under tents and curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." Now he told him to do whatever he wanted to do because God was with him. That's not exactly what God said. It came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in." It certainly would have been a disappointment had God stopped there. David had a desire to build the Lord a house. God said, "You will not build me a house." But he didn't stop there. He says, For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. God said, I've been walking among you. I've been abiding with you from one tent to another, from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedars? Did I ever say to any of the rulers, Why are you guys not building me a house? God said, I never said that. Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. God said, I'll have a special place. And we know that now is Jerusalem, is the city of the great king. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Thank God for the president of the United States who will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and Israel's land and property, territory. Jerusalem is not only the capital of Israel, but Jerusalem is a center of the kingdom that's coming, where Jesus will rule and reign on David's throne there in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a copy of the new city. That is, the new city is called the New Jerusalem, the holy city of God coming down from God out of heaven. So this is Jerusalem, and it's not established at this point as David is coming into his kingdom. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. This is something, the sure mercies of David, the sure house of David it's called. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. I am not going to take my mercy and my spirit away from him like I took it away from Saul, who was before you. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. David, of course, did all in his power. He did all in his might to prepare for the building of the house of the Lord. All the silver, all the gold, all the stone, David had in vision and in writing that which God would do, and he prepared with all his might while he still lived. And then Solomon begins to reign, and he is the one who actually built the house of the Lord. Solomon, the builder king. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Solomon builds this beautiful, magnificent temple that was the admiration of all nations around him. It was a costly temple, a large and beautiful temple. And the Bible talks a lot about it. As the temple is finished building, then everything is put in place. The Ark of the Covenant, the altars, all the things that are put in. Then the glory of God fills this house that Solomon had built, just like the glory of God filled the tabernacle in the wilderness. Chapter 6, verse 1, Then said Solomon, The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now, it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, Forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark wherein is the covenant of the Lord, that he made with the children of Israel. Solomon now is established in his kingdom. One of the beautiful and splendid happenings in the kingdom of Solomon is when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, and God had put all this fantastic and wonderful wisdom in Solomon's heart. What do you want me to do for you, Solomon? Solomon said, Give me wisdom that I may go in and out among your people and judge them and be able to handle things. I need wisdom. And God was pleased with that, and he gave him wisdom as wide as the sea. And now in 2 Chronicles 9:1, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed. She was really flabbergasted. She just couldn't believe it. And she said to the king, It was a true report, which I heard in mine own land, of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them, to do judgment and justice. This is one of the most splendid times in Israel. This is the time that most closely resembles the coming kingdom when Christ will actually come to the earth. Israel had their elevation at this time. This was the plateau. This is what God wanted to have during the time of the reigns of David and especially Solomon. David was rich and he was increased, and God blessed David. David was anointed, and he knew how to worship. He knew how to play. He knew how to praise God and sing and dance before the Lord. David was anointed. But David had battles to fight. He had things to settle. And by the time that Solomon came into the kingdom, he had peace on every side, and God gave him peace. That was what his name meant, was peace. And so Solomon, now, this wisdom that God had given to him, As long as Solomon trusted in God, everything about him was blessed. As the Queen of Sheba said, his servants were happy, his ministers were happy, his cupbearers and all the people that were around him, the royal splendor of his palace and of his house. The king made silver is nothing. It was gold. And silver to be like stones in Jerusalem, it was nothing to be accounted of in the days of Solomon. They were just as plenteous. Just go out and pick up a rock in the yard. Instead of doing that, you'd go out and pick up a ball of gold or silver. It was so plenteous during the time of Solomon. And I wanted to point this out because as long as Solomon put God first, he was blessed. But the moment that his wisdom got a hold of him, it was all right for him to have a hold of wisdom. But when wisdom got the best of him and he started thinking more about himself, pride set in. And when he began to harass his servants instead of blessing them, he began to be a bondage. He began to put servitude on them. And instead of having good days and coming in whistling while you work, they began to be sad. They began to be oppressed. And Solomon began to turn away his heart from God. And his wives, many wives that he had, turned his heart away from God. He began to build idols to false gods that the women were worshiping. And he set up idols and buildings, images to these false gods in Jerusalem, the place that God had chosen to put his name there. He was not doing judgment anymore. He was not doing justice anymore. Now he was turning away from the Lord. God was angry with Solomon. And it's by the grace of God that he didn't destroy him because of that. Solomon certainly could have been destroyed. Dynasty of kings established. Now we see, instead of blessing, we see servitude. We see oppression. We see mischief. And the enemies of the Lord begin to come against Solomon. And he begins to have problems all around him. Our nation is not Israel, but our nation has experienced the blessings of God, much like Israel. America is a blessed nation. America has been founded by God. America has known the blessings of God. America has the same God that Israel has. Israel's God is America's God. America's God is Israel's God. And as long as Israel sought God and put God first, they were blessed. As long as America has put God first, America has been blessed. When Israel started going against God, Israel was no longer blessed. When America starts going against God, and when she started, this hasn't just started of late. America, the further and further we get away from God, the further and further we get away from the blessings of God. What should we do? Well, it's just like during the time of Solomon, David. There were people there who loved God. And people who were loyal to God and loyal to the king as long as they were loyal to God. We should pray for our rulers. We should pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Pray for all men. Not just those who are the same color of skin. Not just those who you like. You pray for all men. It doesn't matter what political party they are. You pray for them. For kings, for rulers, and for all that are in authority. We're to pray for those who are in authority over us. We're to pray for our president. We're to pray for our vice president. We're to pray for those on Capitol Hill, for those in the cabinet, those in the House and the Senate. We're to pray for those in government. We're to pray for those in our local government. Pray for all those who are in authority over us. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, not a riotous and looting and stealing and hateful life. We're to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live in tranquility. It's not His will that we be tossed about and blown about and destroyed. Hurricanes and things are coming. He said these things would come, but that's not His will. His will is to bless His creation. And as we pray that His will would be done on earth as it now is in heaven, the more that we bring along His will on this earth like it is in heaven, we will be fulfilling His kingdom. And we will be leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God really wants. The dynasty of kings established, it was just like a prefigure of the coming kingdom of Christ. And God wants us right now in America to seek His face. My people who are called by My name will humble themselves, pray and seek My face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Our Father in God, right now, we pause and thank You for Your blessings upon us. Thank You for Your blessings upon America. Thank You for Your blessings upon Israel. Lord, I pray for Israel. I pray for Your people. I pray that You would help them as a nation. One day that You will deal with them again. And even now, individually, You can speak to them and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I join with the Apostle Paul, who said, "My prayer to God and desire for Israel is that they might be saved." Lord, I pray for Your people today. I send up prayers of thanksgiving. I send up prayers of supplication. I send up prayers of incense. Incense prayers going up before Your throne on behalf of Your nation Israel. And I pray for America. God, I pray for our president. I pray for those in authority over us. I pray for those in our military. I pray for those in our law enforcement. I pray for the nations of the world around us, that You would help them to come to the same God that we know in America and in Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I pray, Lord, that You would bless this earth. Let many sons and daughters be born into Your kingdom. This is what You said. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I pray this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dynasty of Kings Established has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.